In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.
Today is the second Sunday of the Holy 50 Days, or the Pentecost, and we hear the Lord declare to us that I am the bread of life. It's well known that the Church Fathers compared our life after the resurrection to that of the Israelites after they were freed from the land of Egypt. In the same way that God's chosen people back then needed basic necessities such as faith, bread, water, light, direction while traveling in the wilderness of Sinai, we also in the New Testament need these basic necessities also in a spiritual manner while traveling in the wilderness of the world. So we hear the Lord Christ comforting us today by saying, I am, repeatedly, actually. Not just today, but during this entire time of the Pentecost, we hear these two famous words, I am. These two words have a special meaning to us, and even more so maybe to the Jews of long ago, because you might remember when the Lord Christ used these words to describe himself, they took up stones to try to kill him. We read in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 8, then the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Then they took up stones to throw at him. So it's a strange reaction that we see that simply because he makes this comment that they immediately want to kill him. But I am has a special significance. I am was what was used by the Lord God himself when talking to Moses, when Moses asked him, whom shall I say sent me? When they asked me who you are and what is your name, the Lord said to them, I am who I am. And so maybe this, in this situation, the Lord Christ was trying in a veiled way to kind of tell the Jews who he was, that he wasn't simply a man walking the earth, but he was actually the Lord God incarnate. So today, Christ declares to us that he's the bread of life. He tells us, he who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. So the question, you know, before us today is, do I believe that the Lord Christ, who freed me from my sins, can satisfy my hunger and quench my thirst? But what kind of hunger and thirst is he referring to here? We have to be clear about this point, because even during the days of the Lord Christ long ago, there were those who followed him simply because he was able to feed them. You might remember after he performed the miracle in the wilderness and fed the thousands, that many followed him. Why? Because they wanted a meal. They wanted to satisfy their flesh and to satisfy their physical needs. He tells them, most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. So they didn't fool the Lord Christ, and neither can we. In another place, they tell him, they ask him, what sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. So they were looking for signs, they were looking for wonders, and they were looking for the needs and necessities of the flesh, the food that perishes, not the everlasting food that the Lord provides them. So what was the Lord Christ's answer to the Jews then? He told them, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you. In another place he says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So our question then today is, are we like the Jews of long ago, looking for the physical needs and the satisfaction of the flesh, or do we really seek the food which endures to everlasting life? What is this food which endures to everlasting life? Nowadays it's very easy in our day and in our age to be attached to the food which perishes, the food that is temporary, the food that is earthly. Sometimes we find ourselves so absorbed in the food which perishes that we find no time really for the nourishment that we get from the everlasting food. Our schedules are filled, our minds are filled with the food which perishes alone. It's very easy for anyone to fall into this trap. These days really require us to be watchful and sober in order to put limits on this food which perishes and not to be so preoccupied with it. So what then are the problems with the food which perishes? First of all, it creates for us a distraction. You know, any attachment to the world could easily become a distraction to us, and many are those attachments. They become our focus. They occupy our minds, our thoughts, our energy, and our senses. They become a total distraction to us. They also take up our time. How many interests do we have in our daily life that fill up all of our time? Think about it. Think about the television shows, the websites, email. All of these things are distractions that fill up our time and make us follow after the food which perishes, and we neglect entirely the everlasting food. Entertainment, of course, in moderation is fine, but to excess it becomes a major, major distraction, and so much so, maybe more for our young people. Also, it's a distraction because we develop a growing interest in these things. A growing interest. Maybe at first it's just a curiosity, but then it becomes more and more of a passion of ours. As we permit a distraction to enter our life, we become more interested in it. We want to know more about it. We read more about it, etc., etc., and it takes up all of our time. Another point about distractions is that one distraction leads to many other distractions. Once we open this door for distractions, one distraction alone doesn't come in, but an entire flood of them follows closely behind. Soon, the single interest that I had is an entire army of distractions filling my thoughts and, again, my time. Sometimes, also, these distractions are improper relationships with others, whether they be friendships or maybe even an attraction to the opposite sex. It seems maybe good at first, and it seems to be innocent, but later on we realize that it too, these relationships, are part of the food which perishes. So we always have to be sober and watchful so that we put limits on these distractions when necessary. Second, it keeps us focused on the earth. The food that perishes keeps us focused on the earth and not on heaven. The more we run after the food that perishes, the more we become earthly beings. But we were created as heavenly beings. We weren't created as earthly beings. But again, our focus on the earthly things and the food that perishes changes our nature and our focus. The attachments of the earth are attachments to dust and are temporary. It's always hard to look up and recognize the Lord God when our eyes are always on the things of the earth. How hard it is also to know the way in which we should go when our eyes are fixed on the things of the earth. The question always comes to our mind, what should I do? What direction should I take? If my mind and my focus is always on the food that perishes and the things of the earth, it'll be hard to know the way in which I should go. Also, many of us want to be able to hear the voice of the Lord, but it's hard to do so when our ears are filled with only that is worldly. These things, again, are the food that perishes, and they become a problem for us. Third, the food that perishes blinds our spiritual inner life. Most people don't believe this, actually. Most people think that they can be hungry and be satisfied with the things of the world without losing heavenly wisdom and discernment. And the fathers often talked about wisdom and discernment. St. John Cassian says, for example, so you see then that the gift of discernment is neither earthly nor of little account, but is rather a very great benefit of divine grace. There is no overlap here. You cannot confuse the two things between the earthly and the heavenly, the food that perishes and the everlasting food. When I have more of one or the other, I become a being of the earth or of the heaven. Fourth, the food that perishes causes us to eventually lose our eternity. At the end of the day, all these attachments to the food which perishes lead us down a slippery slope that could cause us eventually to lose our eternity. We know about the story of the rich young ruler and how sad he was when he was asked to separate himself from his wealth and from his money. We don't know what happened to him, but he really was hungry and clinged to the food that perishes. Judas Iscariot, of course, is another example of what can happen to someone who clings to the food that perishes. Samson, the great and mighty Samson, lost so much because he desired to fulfill the lusts of the flesh and the food that perishes. He lost a great deal, but he repented at the end. King Solomon, the great and wise man, ran after also the food which perishes, but we believe at the end he repented. So what then are the blessings of the food which endures to everlasting life? First of all, to keep our priorities straight. The worries of the world all around us, family, work, society, culture, and all of these things become insignificant to us because our priority is set on the everlasting food and on He who provides it for us. My faith also becomes stronger when I focus on the everlasting food. I increase more and more my reliance upon the Lord Christ. I'm also better able to deal with the challenges in my life when I focus on the everlasting food. Second, it allows me to keep my eyes on heaven above. We're strangers in this place, looking forward to the day that we will go home. And the more and more I focus on everlasting food and keeping my eyes on heaven, I feel that I'm a stranger in this place. We say this also in the liturgy, that we're sojourners in this place. This is a temporary life, and I'm looking forward to my permanent home in heaven. I remember Father Isaac told us the story about why our friends from Upper Egypt always on their heads have a wrap. And his explanation of it was because they were always prepared for the day that they would leave this earth and this would be used for their burial. And we might think that this is something morbid and depressing, but for them, they focused in this way on the everlasting life and everlasting food. Third, everlasting food allows us to walk in light. The Lord tells us, "He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." And fourth, everlasting food protects our eternity. It binds our wounds and protects us and protects our senses from anything that can distract us and keeps us focused. So it's clear that the reward for those who pursue everlasting food, what is that reward? The Lord said it today in these 11 verses. He said one phrase three times, and that is, "I will raise him up at the last day. I will raise him up at the last day." We look forward to hearing these words only if we practice during our day-to-day life the pursuit of the everlasting food. This is the promise that was given to those who seek to be fed by the Savior and never again hunger and never again thirst. He alone becomes for us our satisfaction and our source of life. To Him be the glory forever. Amen.